Hey, I'm Parker Lennon.
And this is Chuck Stack.
And you're listening to Fact Fitness. I had that crazy heart palpitation, dizziness.
DMAA making its way back into the pre-workouts. What you thought about that?
They follow the gimmicky stuff, and they don't know.
You bring me a healthy protein that tastes good, I will give you $100.
Yeah.
Going to fitness, I figured I might as well conjoin the two.
Savage life. Makes you look like you have traps.
I follow kind of a real holistic approach when it comes to supplementation.
I'd rather go back to chicken and rice at this point. Hey, what's up? We have Brandon Everhart here from Savage Life Barbell Club. It's a clothing brand, and we're going to be kind of networking with him, talking him to him today about occlusion training. He actually has a 10% discount code, which is, Brandon?
It is FAQ save 10. And it's a discount code you can put in and save some cash when you from the podcast listeners.
Yeah, so basically, you can just go on to SavageLifeBarbellClothing.com. Is this SavageLifeBarbellClub.com?
Yeah,
okay. I'll put that in the description. Maybe by the end of this, I'll actually remember what the website is, and we can go back into it and say it again. So, me and Brandon have been friends for, like, ever.
Pretty much, man. It's been a while.
I was a screamer in one of his bands. We played, he was a drummer in one of our bands, and then we played guitar. So many different things. And then we live together now a lot. So, what can you tell me about your daily training?
Man, I just try to keep it different. I'll try to, do a lot of high rep stuff 1 week, then do some weighted stuff the next week. I'm a bit of a hard gainer, so I have to keep my body guessing, I guess. So I'm always just switching it up and trying new things out.
And he's a lot like me, hard gainer,
Hard gainer, ectomorph type.
Ectomorph, man.
So I don't know much about that, but
no.
But so with what I do know about that is that nutrition usually plays a big part. So do you find that plays a big part in your gains?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can eat so much, and my bulking is very minimal. But when it comes down to cutting, dude, I can shred up in like 10 weeks.
Sure,
that's just how my body type works.
So what type of diet would you say you follow more so? If you do follow any type of diet?
Honestly, man, I just do the chicken and rice diet mainly.
There you go.
Sweet potatoes. For variation, I'll throw in some ground turkey instead of the chicken. Asparagus, broccoli, all the typical stuff.
Sure.
Literally the staple.
Yeah, right.
Last week's meal prep for me.
We usually find stuff that's common, and easy for us, and just stuff that's palatable, and we can get down and use that as a base. I heard you mention that. So that's something common that we all have, even though we have kind of different diets and such. So
yeah, we're both on the keto diet right now, which I was talking to him about yesterday, which we're gonna get into not on this podcast but a next one. I would so much rather go back to chicken and rice at this point.
We're missing the carbs a little bit
I'm missing the sugar a lot. Yeah, it's hard to cut sugar, man. Try that sometimes. Just be like, I'm gonna go a week without sugar. And carbs makes it harder, but like when you specifically say no sugar, it's like, God damn it, dude.
Yeah, you realize how much you didn't have. You realize how much of a vice you have on foods like that, and how much they, just encourage us and distract us from what we're trying to accomplish. So
when an apple is bad for you,
you're like, what?
For your diet, not for you, for your diet.
So,
okay.
So Brandon, what type of training do you do? Where do you work out of? Where do you work out of, I should say?
I typically go to Northwest, which is a YMCA in Muncie.
Okay.
It's really the best gym around here for what we have. We don't have Golds or anything like that. It was pretty much Planet Fitness or the YMCA. So.
So you didn't want to get zonked?
Yeah, man. I have to admit, I've gone to Planet Fitness a couple of times when the Y decides to close on me.
Sure.
So I go in there and try to maintain.
Do you go on pizza day or donut day?
Duh, man, pizza day.
Like, pizza's got protein.
Oh, man. Sometimes, though, like today when I was lifting, I wish that Crunch had a zonk alarm, because this dude was dropping 400-something pounds from his knees. He did the, you know, deadlift typical style where you just, like, bring it up to your knees and you're just like, okay, I'm good. Just drop it. And then did it, like, 10 times in a row. And I was just sitting there, every drop, I'm like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to search you down. I'm going to trip you and throw some weights on you.
You're like, about that.
Yeah. I have a whole different side topic to that we're not going to talk about, but we'll go for it.
So one thing we did want to talk to you about and just ask you about the industry, because you're involved in the same industry that we are, a little bit more in the shows and stuff like that. So you've met some of the people like Bradley Martin that we both look up to, and we kind of see on Instagram, and we kind of like the vibe that he puts out.
And I like his vibe on YouTube mostly.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to how we kind of keep it, like, just kind of fun, you know, just outgoing. Try to get people going as honestly as possible. So what do you see the fitness industry going towards? Do you see it going towards that honesty and kind of the science-based stuff? Or what's your input on that?
I think it just probably matters on who you're following. I'm more like you guys. I follow Bradley, and he's honestly the main guy that I watch, because he always has such a, I don't know, a positive outlook on everything, and he's pretty honest with everything that he does. And on his Q&A's, I like how he answers his questions, and he's just a super humble guy. When I talked to him, he didn't have any kind of, you know, YouTube famous rock star attitude or anything like that. He'll sit and, you know, he'll talk to you, and if you ask him questions, he'll answer him, you know, to the best of his ability for you. And he was a good guy. I definitely recommend his channel.
Do you like Tiger Fitness too? I mean, I really like Bradley Martin, but I
was gonna, yeah, Mark Lobliner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like his honesty too.
That's brutal honesty. Yeah. I like the difference in the two.
It's like straight opinion. Yeah. And that's kind of like what I like, and what we kind of are trying to blend into this podcast, is to show people our opinion with what the science is behind it. So it just because there's science behind it, science-based evidence, it doesn't mean that we necessarily you know, agree with it, so to speak, or would suggest that to somebody. And like you say, we want to have the people that are in our following give them an honest response. So yeah.
I can actually see both of us. That's much better.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Brandon and I both listen to kind of heavier music, and that's what motivates us. And so if you ever see me in the gym and you're asking me a question, I'm trying to turn down the metal that's like blaring in my ears. But yeah, so I went to Warped Tour this year, and there was one band that stuck out as far as fitness that to me, I was like, holy shit. That was Whitechapel. And so Brandon and I have talked about this a couple of times, but what is your opinion about how big and massive Whitechapel is? Besides their singer.
I've got to pull up some pictures.
Oh my God, man.
I don't know how those guys can maintain that kind of just mass and, you know, be on tour and on the road and stuff. It's impressive. It really is.
Here's what I described to you too. Their drummer's arms are so ridiculously big. Like he makes Chuck look small as far as his arms go. And he's so fast on the drums. And it's like, how did that bodybuilder start playing drums? Like, so big.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. So, there's a few other bands that I could mention, but we'll just keep it like, you don't want to end up like, you know, some bands that might try to kill their wives and go to prison. Some people know who that is. I'm not going to mention it. Still love the bands. They don't exist anymore though. Okay. So we're going to keep Brandon on. We're going to actually talk about a couple things. And one thing that he has done that we kind of had talked about before is occlusion training. So we're going to get your feedback on it. I've actually got some of the occlusion bands for the Facebook Live people, and we'll kind of go through it and show you how to do arms with it a little bit, like just demonstrate real quickly. But we talked about on our first podcast, occlusion training is basically limiting the blood supply back to the heart via the veins.
So, yeah. BFR training is also what it's known. Blood flow restricted training.
Oh, Brandon's reconnecting. Hopefully I'll come back on.
So, but basically it's using tourniquets or using some sort of strap to limit the blood flow. Parker's going to show us real quick how to do it. And he's basically got a tourniquet here that has a quick release strap on it. So he's going up above the bicep here, and he's going to go into cinching it down and making sure that, again, what was the rule, Parker?
It's 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. So you want it basically tight, but not to the point where it's like giving you numbness in your hands or in anything that you're is below or extreme to that that attachment, that tourniquet.
And that's another thing that can happen with these quick release. So yeah, you basically put it on. It makes your arms immediately kind of balloon. So after we talked about it, I went back and tried it. And what I can say is once you get it to that 7 out of 10, it's pretty uncomfortable right away. Like you almost immediately with your arms, especially if you're not using these guys. If you use the arm straps or like, sorry, knee straps and you actually use it on your arms, totally like your hands will tingle.
Completely different.
Completely different. The tourniquet style is okay. I don't know if I like it as much sometimes. But what I would say about the training is it gives you that same feeling as like you just ran 5 miles and you got done. And honestly, not even running. I would say like more of like a mid sprint or something like that. And this is kind of what I want. Brandon just tried this yesterday. The call just failed. So I'm going to try to get him back on. I'm going to turn the volume down so you can't hear the ringing. And Chuck is going to talk about how he feels when he does his occlusion training.
Yeah. So when I've done my occlusion training, I've definitely felt that discomfort and the pump, so to speak. But it's it definitely gives you more vascularity, and that's why nurses kind of use that in their practice to be able to do better blood samples and to be able to draw blood better. But I've found that actually using lighter weight and doing higher reps, so focusing a little bit more on higher volume training, is more effective than actually like lifting heavy. So you see a lot of the old school guys and some of the old school bodybuilders, they do it in both leg training and in arm training, and they'll lift big 5x5 lifts and 6x8 lifts. And I don't suggest that, for one, because you're running yourself at risk of causing serious injury. And unless you're experienced in this style of training, that you don't want to try anything extreme, and by protocol that would be considered extreme. So that's my suggestion, and that's really my experience on it. I haven't dabbled in it for extended periods of time, but I have done it in single training sessions. So we're trying to get Brandon back here, and
it's not popping up on my computer right now. It's probably because of our storm here in Florida. We've got these crazy storms.
Getting a pretty nasty storm right now. So
here's what we're gonna try to do. God, I hope this doesn't make a loud noise. Here we go. There we go. So now we've got to switch. Let's see. Can you talk?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm going. So we just switched from computer to phone here.
We're working with what we got.
Yeah.
So the other thing that we were talking about, we started to mention occlusion training. We just said my experience. So Brandon, you give us your experience on kind of what you've dealt with the occlusion training.
Oh, well, I just did it with arms yesterday, and it was quite an experience. It was a little different than what I was expecting it to be going in. I did my set, you know, I released the bands. And I was, you know, my veins were all crazy, and everything was expected as far as that goes. And then as soon as I let go of the bands, I was thinking my muscles were just going to get, you know, full right then and there. So I was just standing around, and I was like, man, when's the pump going to kick in? And then I go to get my buddy ready for his set, and then all of a sudden my arms just explode. It was like the pump set in way later than I thought it was going to.
Sure.
That was one of the things that I noticed that I guess I wasn't expecting to happen. I didn't know what to expect.
I think it's kind of good that we have you here a day after. What do you feel like the day after?
I feel pretty good, but I mean, I really can't. Dude, my arms, I've got them. I beat them up so much that it's pretty hard to get.
You're having trouble using the mouse today.
Yeah. yeah. So it's interesting. I would say with legs, when I included legs, I noticed the difference right away. Like, keep in mind, I do sprint training and I do like a lot of, like, I'll do long distance running and stuff with my legs. So it's hard to really define. But when I added occlusion training, I was sore, like, way more extreme than I am if I just do a normal set of squats, deads, whatever. And I notice it. And for me, occluding hamstrings is like hell, like torture. And yeah, I have
legs
to,
are tough to,
yeah,
it's, to cut the blood supply off. But
it, I mean, when you talk about,
did you go to TJ Maxx and find some like nice tight Spanx? And
no, dude, I just now the like, fun thing
like
is
half the guys in the gym nowadays.
No, so you know, I work at Anytime Fitness, so like I go in at like 6 before I work, and there's like 2 people in there, and I'm not embarrassed to do it in front of them. But when I did my arms and crunch, people were looking at me like, dude, this guy is fucking weird.
Yeah. Were they like, what is he strapping
up for?
At
Northwest, they had to do the same thing, man. Was it like that?
Yeah, everyone's like, what are you guys doing? You're like, are you tying off to shoot up?
That's exactly how we described it.
That's what we said in our first podcast.
Yeah. So I think it's something that we'll keep playing around with. I've heard really good things, and everybody that's mentioned it said, you know, it's really uncomfortable. I think, too, the development as you move forward will probably be different than your initial, you know, kind of reaction to it. But I think there's more to play around with it.
No, we'll keep checking base with you and seeing how you feel with it. We're going to integrate it a little bit into our own training. And then also, so another thing that we wanted to mention to you, Brandon, and see what your feedback was, because what we talked about with just different trends in the industry and stuff, pre-workouts. So the biggest thing that we're talking about is caffeinated proteins, your BCAAs that are energized, your products that just have something stimulant based thrown in there. So
yeah. So
what do you think on that, and how do you incorporate or not use those in your training?
I'm not currently using anything like that. I use the, what was it? It's Optimum Nutrition's Amino Energy. I think that's what it's called.
I love that.
I enjoyed that stuff. I did like it. But really, I mean, outside of just pre-workout and protein, I'm not real huge on the supplements. So I usually try to make my differences with food.
Yeah, which is what we really preach, especially to our clients.
Yeah, food first.
And that's the thing too. A lot of people don't realize, like, I would say one that you can always supplement is creatine. But when you're getting a pre-workout, you're getting just a shit ton of like
a proprietary blend.
And a lot of times
who
it's,
knows what and it's, how much.
It's not even like a whole lot of it. And they're like, oh, cool, we just put this new blah, blah, blah of creatine. And it's usually like some weird beta creatine, alpha, blah, blah, blah. And it really isn't much different than what you would get if you just did straight creatine monohydrate.
So, and then talking a little bit about the science behind it. So pre-workouts are really big right now. And
have been for about the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and they have been. And so a big combination that they...
And I know this dude has like tried all of them, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I have too. And I'm kind of a guinea pig for my clients, as well as just to see how products work, because I take a different look on them. But what...
And we're not sponsored by any company nutrition-wise, so this is completely anecdotal, not any pushing of anything.
So,
go ahead.
So the one product that I have taken, or that I take now, is EBL Nutrition. They have an Amino 10. What I was saying about the science behind it is that a lot of companies will put tyrosine and caffeine together, and they actually have inhibiting effects. The tyrosine does not stimulate the nervous system, especially when it's in the presence of caffeine. So the science behind the caffeine is beneficial alone, having caffeine only, slightly. I think it was up to 150 milligrams. So it's like a little
it's
over
probably
a cup
whatever,
of tea
whatever
or a cup
the,
of coffee.
Olympics deem as a normal dose of caffeine. Because I know you're allowed to have it up to like, I think 200 or 100 or something like that.
Yeah. So it does have actual beneficial effects, but however, it does not when coupled with tyrosine. And a lot of these pre-workouts, they have tyrosine and caffeine.
Yeah.
Yet
so
alone something that we were talking about earlier.
Vasodilators.
It's
like arginine or
caffeine.
Arginine.
And one's a vasodilator, one's a vasorestrictor. Mm-hmm. So what we mean by those terms is that a vasodilator opens up your veins so it can allow nutrients to flow to your muscles faster. The vasorestrictors, they basically squeeze your veins tight so that it restricts blood flow and there's not as much blood flowing in volume.
Let me relate it to something working out. This is something that is like a pet peeve of mine, and I have to just bring
it up. We were talking about the pump, so that's why I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. So here's one of my pet peeves in the gym. When I see people grab two dumbbells, two of them, and they start doing obliques, and I'm like, well, if you really wanted to do that, what you could do is just grab nothing. You grab one. Yeah. So you're working one side, then the other. And I'm like, what are you doing? A farmer's carry? No, you're going to do obliques and you're basically, you're counteracting one side, right? So this is what you would do if you add, so arginine and caffeine, they counteract each other. One's a vasorestrictor, one's a vasodilator. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
Even though I still love pre-workout because I need the caffeine.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Sometimes we'll take it as in our own training to help us get into that savage life and help us really push it a little bit more, you know, and just to allow us to train at our tip top, because as athletes that train for performance, you know, we train sometimes multiple times in a day, and it's hard to have that that push sometimes for the first or the second workout. Just depends when it is, whether usually it's 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. So,
okay, so I got two things. Number one, this is a question I get asked all the time. What in this, and you're going to answer it because you know this really well.
Okay.
I know, but here it goes. What causes the tingling feeling from a pre-workout?
So there's actually multiple things that can cause it. Niacin is one can cause tingling. Yeah. So that was one that you probably weren't thinking of. Nope. Beta-alanine was the top one that most people consider. I want to say it's betaine.
Oh, it causes tingling?
I'm trying to
think. It's kind of a new one to jump into pre-workouts, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yes and no. It's
found at a higher dose, I think.
In a higher dose. It's being more researched now. So they have actually found that it is beneficial. It's a beneficial amino acid, as well as like leucine. We were talking about BCAAs earlier. So leucine, isoleucine, valine, those are the three BCAAs. The thing to look for in a BCA is a 4-to-1-to-1 ratio, basically. So you want leucine to be your primary and your highest concentration of 4 grams, and then 1 gram of isoleucine and valine. So that's kind of the biggest thing when you're looking for a BCA supplement.
Also definitely the most researched of everything is creatine.
Yeah, and creatine, I mean, it has numerous effects. Most people think of it in a negative way because of creatine monohydrate. Creatine monohydrate does require water to be able to be transported into the muscles. So it gives you a little bit more of a swelling effect, whereas something that has...
A little water bloat.
Right, something that has a buffer with it, like crealkaline or like, what's another popular one, like creatine hydrochloride, I mean there's a bunch of other ones, creatine esters. I mean
they disappeared after a while though.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, because they're finding that there's other ways to deliver it and it's not as necessary. So
usually it's like crealkyl or something like that.
Yeah, crealkaline's a proprietary blend. It's a patented formula. With patented formulas, you can usually guarantee that you're going to get the same product, so to speak, every time, because they're required to follow guidelines for that product.
Okay, so my secondary thing was, Brandon, what is your favorite pre-workout you've tried? Because I've seen your cupboard and I'm like, dude, can I try that one or that one?
Yeah. I've got the graveyard of pre-workouts in there.
He's like, this one's good, this one's not.
Well, I was gonna ask you guys, what's your thought of DMAA making its way back into the pre-workouts? What you thought about that?
DMAA. So he's talking about dimethyl aspartic acid, I believe. Let me double check on my
abbreviations. Don't have an answer.
Sorry, I had that wrong. So it's dimethyl amylase.
Is this the stuff that's basically meth?
So it basically
is.
It really pumps up your adrenal glands, and it kind of, it's like the main stimulant that people found in what was that one called? Stacked. Was it Stacked?
Oh yeah, that's right. No, Jack 3D.
Or Jack 3D. That's
Jack
what it 3D, was.
Jack 3D. Got me from that.
So Jack 3D was the kind of the big ones that in the industry that launched that. I don't like jacking up my nervous system that much and my adrenals. For one, it kind of we've been big advocates of explaining cortisol levels, and it pumps cortisol levels through the roof when you really stimulate your, or overstimulate, I should say, your body.
Yeah.
Me also, I know that, and you guys sound like you've done a lot of the same thing and taken them over an extended period of time. I find that I have to definitely cycle them mm-hmm. for a period on and a period off, following the directions to the T, as well as I actually have to like barely sip it as I work out and stuff. Cause if I chug it, I'm like through the roof for 30 minutes.
Chuck's already ADD. He doesn't really need any caffeine.
And that's, so my theory on that is stimulants. So I feel like there's actual different effects on my own body in levels of focus and levels of performance, based on the different types of stimulants, whether it's basic caffeine anhydrous or whether it's caffeine from a tea or whether it's, let's say green tea extract or
something else. Yeah, I like green tea extract.
Yeah, certain things allow me to focus and I can hone in a lot better than others. And being an ADHD person, if you give them speed,
it, yeah,
you know, like Ritalin.
That's basically what, so when we say meth, we mean it's, you can, it's say with the methyl, so. Yeah, it's basically very close to a methyl, methamphetamine. And when he says speed, he's not joking. It's very close molecule wise to methamphetamine.
They fall in the same drug class. So.
Yeah. And so the reason why they pulled it is because, you know, people were having issues with the heart palpitations, all those crazy side effects, which is also something you can see with like, fat burners, like, was a great one, Hydroxycut, same type of thing. You'll see those a lot in it. What I can say personally is that when I took Jack 3D the first time, and I only took it like one time, I had that crazy heart palpitation, dizziness, almost like fainted in the gym. And I'd taken tons of pre-workout before that, Inno Explode, all that fun stuff, Assault, and when it was a good one. And I don't like that ingredient at all. I wish I would have remembered it, but now that I know, I'm going to look for it again.
It's making its way back in, like Mesomorph, by, I think it's APS.
Okay.
The DMAA. Extreme Dust by Blackstone Labs, it's got the DMAA in it.
You know what's funny, though? These are all companies that made Pros, and they've got to get something thrown back in there to make more money. And now they're going to go this route. These are all...
Well, and that's the way the fitness
Blackstone
industry...
Blackstone Labs, like...
Industry goes.
Great example. Well,
And there's many companies out there that do a lot of the they follow the gimmicky stuff, and they don't try to follow more of a lead, you know, in the research base, which people like Lane Norton, he has Carbon, and that's his big one. And they're a pretty science-driven company. Enzyme Medica, they do focus more on enzymes and how it can focus on fat breakdown, carb breakdown, protein breakdown, proteases, amylases, you know, all these things that really help us with digestion, but also catalyze what we were talking about in our last podcast, how the body breaks stuff down.
And I think if you look at it, the companies that are going more towards peptides are usually the reputable ones.
Sure.
Because that's where the research is really going. It's more for actual absorption of the product. Of course, everybody's going to claim it, that absorbs better, but, you know... I would say the reputable brands, and I'm not name dropping to please anybody. I like Dymatize. I think they're a great company, and I really love Optimum Nutrition. The kind that I'm using now, the gold standard, has like, it's banned substance free. So at least I know I'm not getting a bunch of that weird stuff that's banned. And there's like, you know, even Vitamin Shoppe has a great, kind of pre-workout that is just basic stuff like beta-alanine, creatine, or Crealcol, and it's so simple, it's a good thing to take. It doesn't have any of the fillers. So, and there's other really good companies I'm not mentioning, and Chuck definitely does a different route on nutrition, as far as supplementation.
Yeah, I follow kind of a real holistic approach when it comes to supplementation. So we were talking about betaine, or I always say it wrong, but
I don't know how to say it, honestly.
I think it's betaine.
But Tang sounds like you got Southern twang on there, dude.
Betaine. I know. I wish there was like a little pronunciation.
I know. Like Facebook has it for names. Why can't they have it for this stuff?
I'm going to get murdered by all my chemistry friends with all these pronunciations, this podcast. But, So the products that I do take on a more regular basis, I like Garden of Life. They have an organic raw meal. It's got a lot of plant-based proteins in it. It's also got whole foods and a lot of these basically enzymes and stuff from raw foods. So it's got stuff like asparagus in it, spirulina, choline, you know, all the micro plants and or micro vegetables, macros, micros, it's got the whole thing. The taste isn't the best, so I usually do it with a scoop of peanut butter. And
none of the really healthy ones taste good ever.
Yeah, and that's typically how it is.
You bring me a healthy protein that tastes good, I will give you $100.
Yeah, we're gonna be the people are gonna be throwing them at us now.
Yeah.
So
sponsor us, and I'll drink it all the time.
One of the companies that I am currently sponsored by is EVL Nutrition. I did mention their product, but that is my favorite BCA product is the Amino 10, and I that's an honest opinion. That I've taken that's many of these products all through the year. Yeah, that, I mean $32.99 for a 30 serving container. This is stimulant free. You do feel the pump because it's got your citrullina, or your citrulline, your arginine, your taurine. It's got your BCAAs. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's like a good pre-workout without stimulants. And I use it as more of an intro workout. So during my workouts.
Yeah. Really your BCA should be during your workout, maybe between meals if you can't get
right
to eat.
And those are the products. The only product I'm using right now is this Amino 10.
How many calories is in that?
I think, let me see, supplement facts, the basics, let's see.
Cause where I usually use, amino acids when I do intermittent fasting, if I were to use them at all, I would use it during that. Cause I usually go between 16 and 20 hours. This week I did 16, 18, and 20 because I was trying to figure out something that would work with this damn keto diet, which is terrible sometimes, a lot of times, which we're going to talk about next. Yeah, so here we're getting towards the end, and I want Brandon to tell a little bit of the background about himself and the design of these shirts and hats. The hats, you know, you've got the snapback on, which I told him, I was like, I want one. Right. I was like, you better send me one.
I was actually thinking about that. This is the first podcast I haven't had a hat on.
And
most people do see me with hats on, so
yeah.
We might have to get a Savage Life hat in the house, if not two. But yeah, go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I mean, I'm a graphic designer. That's what I do for a living. And I've always just kind of had a passion for wanting to make a clothing line. And and I'm so into fitness, I figured I might as well conjoin the two. And that's really where the idea came from. And I was in a band, and it was called The Savage Life, and I always thought that was a sweet name, so I just kind of carried it on with the because it matched right in with lifting, so I just carried that on into the name for the brand. And we did our first run of shirts. We sold out in a month, so we did two more designs, and then from there on we've got multiple designs, t-shirts, tank tops, hats, you name it. And we're getting ready to start a fall collection. We're going to have hoodies like this one I've got on, a baseball, three-quarter length shirts, just some crew necks, some more cold weather stuff. We're going to get in line for the fall collection.
I'll be perfect here in Florida.
Yeah, right. Just kidding. We'll be the tanks and the hats.
Yeah. No, he's designed shirts for all of our bands, and I was like, man, like, we've tried a different type of clothing company before. It was more just like based on, you know, lifestyle, but this is definitely right up our alley as far as clothing goes, and I love wearing all the shirts. Definitely great designs. Chuck's looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sick design. So check it out.
We're gonna fit shirts. They fit awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the shirts are awesome. Definitely. What's your favorite one, man?
I'm gonna have to go with the Army Green.
Army Green.
The logo right on the chest. It is it's just my favorite one. I love how I look in it, and I love how it feels. I don't know what it is, man, but it makes me look like I have some traps. I always feel yoked up when I'm wearing it.
Savage Life makes you look like you have traps. That sounded perfect in this mind, dude.
Traps are a true sign of strength.
Yeah. It's for all those people who hold in their oblique side to sides with those weights.
Hey,
it builds traps.
Right? I'm like, oh, I'll just make your traps better, bigger, your chest bigger, and nobody will look anywhere else. So.
Yeah, one of my clients that is like, dude, you need to record more podcasts. He's all about traps. So that's what I'm working on right now with him.
There we go.
So yeah, we're going to try to keep this one short. We're going to do a little bit shorter one today. I think in closing... What do you want to ask? Any other questions?
I think that was good. I was your stuff looks sick. I'm looking forward to ordering up some clothes myself. And
you got all the Dream Team stuff. The Olympics.
Military tee is probably my favorite. Also, I love the drab green. So that military green.
What's the color of that blue right there?
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
That too. Blue has got me all over it. Because, you know, the girls will be like, Parker, your eyes are so blue.
Wow, that's really
oh, yeah, that's the girl getter for sure.
Oh, yeah. The girl getter. They'll be like, ooh, that light blue shirt looks so good with your eyes.
Is that 100% cotton? My goodness, 4.3 ounce. I love it.
Can't tell that I'm single at all.
And I'm not.
But yeah, you guys are both married, and I'm the single
idiot. Yeah, right. He's got kid stuff. I've got the ring to show.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you've got the kid stuff. So those of you, nobody can see you right now. So there's just a bunch of kids' toys in the background. Now, I know I've been to this room. I'm like, that's your office, man. This is what happens when you have kids, Chuck.
Yeah, right.
You're next.
Yeah.
Looking for the house next to the kids.
That's it. That's the plan, man.
All right, man. Well, it was awesome talking to you. So the code again is?
FAQ Safe 10.
So for... Back Fitness Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Sounding all Boston. And the website is?
SavageLifeBarbellClub.com.
Okay, we'll have all this in our description of the podcast. Please, if you could, add us on Facebook. I just made a Facebook for us. It's FAQ Fitness Podcast. So FAQ Fitness Podcast. And if you could, on iTunes, if you have an account, give us a 5-star review so we can start getting some reviews on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the next step. Please share and spread the word and go buy some awesome shirts from Brandon and Savage Life Barbell Club. All right, we are out of here.
All right.
See ya.